His mixed ancestry told in the pale brown of his skin, the heavy black brows over startling, cloudy blue eyes. But his gaze roamed, restlessly, even in these first few seconds of meeting her, as if he had trouble maintaining eye contact. He said, "You're staring at me." She came out fighting. "Well, you startle me. Anyhow, I know who you are." This was Bobby Patterson, Hiram's only son and heir, and a notorious sexual predator. She wondered how many other unaccompanied women this man had targeted tonight.
"And I know you, Ms. Manzoni. Or can I call you Kate?"
"You may as well. I call your father Hiram, as everyone does, though I've never met him."
"If you want to, I could arrange it."
"I'm sure you could." He studied her a little more closely now, evidently enjoying the gentle verbal duel.
"You know, I could have guessed you were a journalist. A writer, anyhow. The way you were watching the people reacting to the virtual, rather than the virtual itself. I saw your pieces on the Wormwood, of course. You made quite a splash."
"Not as much as the real thing will when it hits the Pacific on May 27th, 2534 A.D. He smiled, and his teeth were like rows of pearls.
"You intrigue me, Kate Manzoni," he said. "You're accessing the search engine right now, aren't you? You're asking it about me."
"No." She was annoyed by the suggestion. "I'm a journalist. I don't need a memory crutch."
"I do, evidently. I remembered your face, your story, but not your name. Are you offended?"
She bristled.
"Why should I be? As a matter of fact..."
"As a matter of fact, I smell a little sexual chemistry in the air. Am I right?"
There was a heavy arm around her shoulder, a powerful scent of cheap cologne. It was Hiram Patterson himself, one of the most famous people on the planet. Bobby grinned and gently pushed his father's arm away.
"Dad, you're embarrassing me again."
"Oh, bugger that. Life's too short, isn't it?"
Hiram's accent bore strong traces of his origins, the long nasal vowels of Norfolk, England. He was very like his son, but darker, bald with a fringe of wiry black hair around his head. His eyes were intense blue over that prominent family nose, and he grinned easily, showing teeth stained by nicotine. He looked energetic, younger than his late 60s.
"Ms. Manzoni, I'm a great admirer of your work, and may I say you look terrific."
"Which is why I'm here, no doubt."
He laughed, pleased.
"Well, that too. But I did want to be sure there was one intelligent person in among the airhead politicos and pretty pretties who crowd out these events. Somebody who would be able to record this moment of history."
"I'm flattered."
"No, you're not," Hiram said bluntly. "You're being ironic. You've heard the buzz about what I'm going to say tonight. You probably even generated some of it yourself. You think I'm a megalomaniac nutcase."
"I don't think I'd say that. What I see is a man with a new gadget. Hiram, do you really believe a gadget can change the world?"
"But gadgets do, you know. Once it was the wheel, agriculture, iron-making, inventions that took thousands of years to spread around the planet. But now it takes a generation or less. Think about the car, the television. When I was a kid, computers were giant walk-in wardrobes served by a priesthood with punch cards. Now we all spend half our lives plugged into soft screens, and my gadget is going to top them all. Well, you'll have to decide for yourself."
He studied Kate.
"Enjoy it tonight. If this young waster hasn't invited you already, come to dinner and we'll show you more, as much as you want to see. I mean it. Talk to one of the drones. Now, do excuse me."
Hiram squeezed her shoulders briefly, then began to make his way through the crowd, smiling and waving and glad-handing as he went. Kate took a deep breath.
"I feel as if a bomb just went off."
Bobby laughed.
"He does have that effect. By the way..."
"What?"
"I was going to ask you anyhow before the old fool jumped in. Come have dinner, and maybe we can have a little fun. Get to know each other better."
As his patter continued, she tuned him out and focused on what she knew about Hiram Patterson and our world. Hiram Patterson, born Hirdamani Patel, had dragged himself out of impoverished origins in the fen country of eastern England, a land which had now disappeared beneath the encroaching North Sea. He had made his first fortune by using Japanese cloning technologies to manufacture ingredients for traditional medicines once made from the bodies of tigers, whiskers, paws, claws, even bones, and exporting them to Chinese communities around the world. That had gained him notoriety. Brickbats for using advanced technology to serve such primitive needs, praise for reducing the pressure on the remaining populations of tigers in India, China, Russia, and Indonesia.